Then they walked with me along a narrow path, past a forest, and it was so desolate around me. But I immediately saw that there were others coming behind me and that there were also people in front of me who were walking there. And when I dared to raise my eyes, I saw that we were walking towards a grotto and through a vault. It was something eerie for me. I couldn't determine, was it dark, or was there some light coming in? Because these beings who accompanied all the poor sinners, radiated so much light from themselves and illuminated the surroundings. And yet I had the feeling that it wasn't very dark after all, but a strange light was emanating from these people. Then we reached a level and so we were gathered together. It was dark, something like that, I can't describe it, it was something eerie. I had a feeling as if I was seeing faces in these grottos. I felt uncomfortable, but I thought, I'm not alone. I was always afraid of fire, I always thought, I am being led into a fire. But I saw no fire anywhere, only the glow of these holy figures illuminated the surroundings. Now, when we were gathered together, the companion spoke to me, "You have to stay here for a while, I will come back." All the others were standing the two, we were silent, it was still, we did not know what would happen to us now. And of course, when these beings who had accompanied us left, the light also went away and it was no longer bright. So we had to wait. But it did not last long and they came back again, soon one after the other. I had to wait a little longer, but of those who were with me there were those whose companions came back quickly, together with someone. And now my guide or my companion came back, and he had, I counted them, 8 acquaintances with him who had had dealings with me, with whom I had lived in conflict, whose lives I had not made pleasant, who had therefore already entered the spiritual realm before me. Well, they came to me, they stood in front of me and looked at me, they all made a serious face. What am I supposed to do with them? I thought, must they of all people see the state I am in? I was doubly ashamed. Once I had commanded them, and now I was being humiliated and they looked at me. But my companion said, "So, you must give everyone your hand and ask each one to forgive you." I did it. It was difficult for me, but I gave everyone my hand. There was nothing to conceal, because my life, that was the way it was obvious. I couldn't deny anything, I had nothing to hide, so what did I want? I shook hands with each one and asked, "Forgive me." They nodded silently, all of them. But I didn't have the feeling that they were particularly happy. Some of them looked better, but some didn't look particularly happy either. But they were all ready to forgive me. Then they were led away and I was left alone again. Now I had to wait until everything was done for everyone who had been led with me to this place, into this grotto, until everything was over for everyone. So it was the same for everyone. You had to give your hand to those who had come and ask, "Forgive me." Well, some of those who had come with me were crying and screaming. They knelt down before these others and begged them, "Forgive me." I saw difficult scenes. But I had only one wish, it would be over as quickly as possible. And I thought, what will happen next? But I didn't want to see these scenes anymore. After a certain time, the time had come. They had all reached out their hands, and those who had come had to leave again. So it was the same everywhere. Those to whom you had caused suffering and pain had to come before you, you had to apologize, and then they left again. When it was all over, you said, "Yes, this forgiveness is not all over yet. At a later point in time you will come back to it again and in each case in your own special way." So I thought to myself, then I will meet them again. But they have forgiven me and at least they have seen me in my poverty, and so I hope to get some pity from them. But I soon forgot that, and new things came to me and the others, and we were tense. What would happen next? Now we were led deeper from this grotto. It did not get any brighter, it was at twilight, and everyone who was together had to go in there. We were led by 3 such exalted beings. My companion had said goodbye and many others too, 3 had stayed. I estimate that there were between 30 and 50 of us who had come together, I cannot say exactly. Now we went deeper down into these grottos. The path was not easy, not easy to walk, but our three companions called us again and again. We had to go over all obstacles, overcome all difficulties and reach this place that had been chosen for us, in this depth. Then they stood in front of us and said, "This is the place for you now. Here you must remain in exile for a while. We are giving you the opportunity to reflect. You must now think, you must become repentant, and above all, you must try to open your own treasure chamber." We did not know what to do with these words, but we were already used to hearing this language, because the spiritual language had a completely different meaning than the words we had been used to in human life. They spoke of the spiritual treasure chamber. One of these three beings enlightened us and said, "In everyone who comes to us there is a treasure chamber. It is deep in his soul, and the access to this treasure chamber must be opened. Your access is walled in and this wall must be broken through. It takes a very long time until the last obstacle is removed, and then, when you have already reached this treasure chamber, you still have to find the key to open it. But we will be satisfied when the walls have been broken through, when the access to the treasure chamber has been found." And they told us that the greatest riches are now in this treasure chamber. Everyone has hidden them within themselves, they are locked in. They have been walled up in human life itself and it has been made impossible to take out any of this precious treasure. That is what it is all about now. The riches in this treasure chamber, they wanted to explain to us, are not gold or any other precious things, but it is quite simple. In this treasure chamber of the soul is love, understanding, goodwill, peace, and we should strive for these. We should get peace, and this peace was far away for us. So we should find access to this treasure chamber. And then, we were told, it wouldn't be far, only the key had to be found. Love, benevolence, understanding, bliss, all of this was in the treasure chamber. Yes, actually it was quite clear to us what was in this treasure chamber. In this world we knew, these are the highest values. But we were not able to appreciate these values. We were not yet able to understand what love is, and we were not able to give benevolence. We were still a long way from giving this benevolence. That was to come, and that was a long way. That was clear, to me at least. Well, our companions said, there was enough room for all of us. We could stand where we wanted, we could lie down or sit, we could stick to these strange shapes as we liked. But we should make the most of the time and not stop paving the way to our treasure chamber. Then they said they would now say goodbye and ask about us from time to time. And then there was a moaning and screaming and shouting. Those who were with me did not want the companions to leave. They called out, "At least stay here. If only one of them stays, we will be happy, but do not leave us in this solitude, do not leave us alone. We cannot find the way to our treasure chambers." And the exalted beings said, "Yes, it is the best way for you." And they simply left. But some light had been left behind for us. We did not know where it came from, but we were not suddenly in the dark. We could see each other well. It was not dark. For me that was a great satisfaction. I was not in the dark and was not standing in the middle of the fire. So I thought to myself, "Now you have time to break through this wall." I then tried to pray and believed that in this way I would have the opportunity to break free from the wall that I had built around my own treasure chamber, something to open. But now, there was no peace. There were some of them, they made a terrible noise. They shouted out their sins as loudly as they could and they asked God for forgiveness, for mercy. They called on Christ to help them, they made a terrible noise. It was impossible to come to one's senses. Some became angry at the noise and shouted at the others, "We are here too, pull yourselves together, don't make such a noise. You are driving us to despair, we can't say a prayer with your noise, be quiet." But they did not listen. They continued to shout as much as they could. Now we were being put to a hard test. I thought to myself, "It's no use shouting at these people who are in great spiritual distress. You have to try with love, you have to approach them with kindness, that is the spiritual language." Then I tried it in love, went to one who was screaming like that and said, "Listen to me. You see, we are all here, it would be much better if we agreed together, prayed together and thought about what we could do to break through these walls. You can't do that by screaming. But some said, yes, we will scream until they hear us. Because they believed that by screaming they would awaken the grace of God. I thought to myself, that can't be, you can't awaken the grace of God with that. No, you can't break through the walls that way. And I tried to calm them down as best I could. I had also called on others, come to them and comfort them so that they don't scream like that, then at least we will have more peace. It took a long, long, long time until everyone had calmed down, until they had stopped shouting, until they had realized, nobody can hear us, and they will leave us here as long as we have to stay here, as we deserve. And so the hour came when we came to an agreement. But it had taken a lot. Then we realized, here we were already being tested for patience, understanding, compassion, and goodwill. Here we could help our neighbors in their time of need. Despite our own need, there was a chance of getting out of it by offering the other person a hand and helping them out of their misfortune, giving them comfort. And so it was, by offering the other person a hand, by showing compassion for the other person's suffering, we had already pushed some of the rubble away from ourselves. The other, who was ready to listen, with this willingness, with this readiness, had also broken a little of the wall down. He had come closer to the others. So we had come to an agreement. And there was one who stood up and always spoke up, who prayed as a leader, who declared, we deserve this punishment, but we can still live in the hope that we will be freed. They said so. We shorten the time of distress by now remaining calm, by showing understanding, by getting closer to one another, by being able to understand God's love and grace, even if we have to endure suffering. We understand God's love by recognizing that what is happening to us is right. Only in this way can we get closer to God. So one person was so kind and paved the way for everyone, so to speak. So we had the opportunity to break away a little of this wall that we had built ourselves in life, to clear a little of it. We also agreed on a song. We began to sing in honor of God. We cheered each other up, because we couldn't stand to see anyone so melancholy. So we could sing and pray, and the time was no longer so difficult, and everything was no longer so burdensome. It became easier for us, and we felt as if we had broken down the wall around us and as if we only needed to find the key to our treasure chamber. We were not aware of how long we had been in this distress. There was no time. And then they appeared, these three, they came back to us. It seemed to us as if their faces had changed, and yet it was the same, but their features were no longer so serious. Suddenly we saw a gentleness around their mouths, kind eyes, a smile that beamed at us. And we were so happy about this smile, about this kindness that was brought to us without a word being spoken. So we all knew, we just looked at each other, we knew, we have blown up the walls. And they confirmed it to us, you have blown up the wall. Then they said, now get out of this grotto. We went out singing and shouting, and it seemed to us that the path was no longer as full of obstacles as it had seemed when we had climbed down. We felt so light, it was easy. Everything was so easy and moving forward with momentum. Suddenly we were standing, we didn't know how quickly it happened, in a garden and were surrounded by blossoming trees and flowers. Here they all stood, who had once looked at us so sternly. We also had the feeling that their faces had changed somewhat, but there was no gentleness or kindness about their mouths like the three who had come to get us. We saw them as our saviors. The others were our judges, they were no longer so stern, but we didn't see a smile on their mouths. Then each one was taken out, called out, and it was explained to them what we had suspected. You have blown up the wall, we have given you the opportunity to do so. And now you just have to find the key to your treasure chamber, and you will find that too. Everyone was now assigned a job, including me. I was also assigned a job. Now a different life began. We dispersed, we were all taken away, and we went in different directions. We waved to each other as long as we could see each other and promised to visit each other and not to forget each other. We had sworn this in the grotto. We had made a promise. If one of us was allowed to leave this room first, he would ensure that the others could leave soon too. We made a promise that if one of us could leave first, he would ensure that all of us would be able to, and we promised each other to meet again when it was possible and to help each other if one of us got into trouble. We had enough opportunities to talk about it. We had formed a bond of friendship. But we didn't know which path each of us would take. So each of us went his own way, and I went mine. I was taken to a house where there were many, many people, and they explained to me, "Here you have to get used to community life and you go to work." I was happy with my work. I enjoyed doing it because I was allowed to work in a large garden. I was allowed to move flowers. I had to dig trenches, all sorts of things. The work was not too hard for me. It was not always pleasant. You came into contact with many people who did not make your work easy. But I did not forget what they said to me. "You just need to find the key to your treasure chamber." I knew, "I will only find this key if I get along with those with whom I have to live, if I understand their bad habits, their lives, their behavior, if I comfort them and do not get angry with them, then I can practice the virtues." In this way I found the key to my own treasure chamber. It is not so easy to be with these diverse beings who have such unusual habits that can annoy you and make you feel bad. Here you are tested for your patience, your endurance, your understanding and your affection for others. So, this was the way. I found the key to my own treasure trove. That did not mean that the way was then open for me to enter the most beautiful heaven. No, then the duties began. Tasks and duties were given to you. Now you should work in the true spiritual life and not make any mistakes. You had the key for that. Now you should show what treasures you had in your own treasure trove. That was my way. That is the way I am going through. I have found the key and I have to prove myself in my work, wherever I am put. Because it changes, I don't always do the same work today. Because I no longer work in a garden, I no longer dig ditches. At one time I find myself among people, at another time among suffering spirits. At another time I am helpfully standing by a serving spirit of God in the task it carries out, now here, now there. And for how long, I do not know. I hope I never have to go back and become a human being, but I believe I must go down this path again. And so I will strive diligently to do the right thing, to live in a way that pleases God, to be a worthy servant in God's plan of salvation. No matter where I am placed, whether it is in the afterlife or whether I have to live again as a human being, I only want to be with one desire: to obey the laws of God, to hear God's voice. I want to hear the warning words that resound from far away into the human realm, to become quiet, to be attentive in order to understand them correctly, so that they penetrate into the depths of the soul and so that no more walls are built around the treasure chamber of the soul. So, dear brothers and sisters, I told you about my life, in which, end of sound recording, edition from the first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt, I live in the spiritual world. May God's blessing give you all enough strength to lead a life pleasing to God and to recognize what the world can offer. One should recognize that as a human being one lives in a world of transience, that one should not pursue these transient things too much. They are of no use and do not help if one does not use them in such a way that they help others who are in suffering and distress. May God give you the strength to live truly. God bless you. Joseph. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to answer a few questions that have arisen in response to our sister's lecture. Dear Joseph, was Karolina not supported by an intercessory angel before the angels of the judges, as we have heard in other cases? Joseph, in this case, no one actually put in a good word for this soul. Can friendships formed between spirit beings be carried over to the next reincarnation, the next life on earth? Joseph, yes, once a bond of friendship has been formed, this spiritual bond cannot be raised, and if one has the opportunity to help the other, one will seek out their proximity and keep the promise if it is allowed. Was this Karolina later allowed to do something for her brother? Joseph, they did meet in the spiritual world, But first this sister had to go through her purification. If the desire to help is there and siblings come together, then they help each other. But you must understand that this brother also entered the spiritual world and did not have to go through this difficult path. The brother was above his sister and he could have helped her. But in such cases, such burdened beings cannot be helped in such a way. They must go through purification if it is determined by the world of God. There is no other option. Later they can enjoy relief. But in the beginning most people have to endure this hardship, unless there are mitigating circumstances, and not without reason. Because every being does what is necessary for its further progress. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Carolina and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. End, next is 1962 to 1963.